Okay. Like Heshi said, we're starting a new sefer, Parshas Shmos. Ramban calls it Sefer HaGeula, the Sefer of the Redemption of Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. And we all know this far being down that in a sense, everybody is in their own Mitzrayim, has their own goals, their own Mitzrayim. And Sefer Shmos is a time of Geula. It's a time where everybody could redeem themselves by tefillah and acting properly from their personal tzaras and becoming closer to Hashem. The parasha starts off, Ve'ela Shmois B'nei Yisrael Haboi Mitzrayimah Eis Yaakov Yishuv Eisei Bo. And there's a classical Rosh HaTeris from the Baal HaTurim in this pasuk. Not all Chumashim have it. It's Baal HaTurim Ha'oruch. It's for everyone knows Ve'ela Shmois from Baal HaTurim is V'chayiv Odom Mukvais HaParasha Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum Vav Aleph Lamed Hey V'chayiv Odom Mukvais HaParasha Shmois Shin Mem Vav Sof Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. And B'nei Yisrael is B'koil Noim Yashir B'koil, if someone says it in a pleasant voice, Yisrael Yichya Shonim Rabbis Aruchim Lo'ilam, he'll live a long life. The Gemara brings down the schar for being Mavisadr Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum is Arichas Yomim Arichim Yomav V'shinoi Sof. So Baal HaTurim finds it in the Rosh HaTevis of this pasuk.
Yeah, but I never understood it. But all of a sudden, with Shmois, they have to suffer
Bereshis. No. Okay. I had the same kasha last year. The Chayav all the Mukhas HaParsha, Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, Bekol Noam Yoshe, Yich Yashonim Rabbis Aruchim Wa'ilam. Okay, a nice little chizik from Mavis Sedra. We all know as time goes on, we start off the year with the with strong, and then by now, how many weeks are we behind? So a little chizik to be Mavis Sedra, Marichin Loyom Vushinaisov. They also bring down the Eile Shemois Bnei Yisrael Boyim, that the Seif Tevis, if you take the last letter of each of those words, it's out of order. If you take the last letter, it spells out Tehillim. Shemois, you have a Sof, you have a Hey from the Eile, a Lamed from Yisrael, a Yud from Bnei, and a Boyim is a Mem, it spells out Tehillim. Again, a rem is that the Geula comes about because of our tefillos, because of Tehillim that we say. Is it Indian to say Tehillim these weeks of Shaivavim? Is it Indian of Tehillim? Ve'ela Shmois Bnei Yisrael Boyim, a rem is to Tehillim. The parasha continues, Vayimoreru as Chayayim Ba'avoy Dekosho. In Perigal of Pasuk Yudalad, by Yemoru as Chayayim ba'avoy dekasha, the Mitzrayim they made the lives of Bnei Yisrael bitter with difficult work, v'chaymu v'levenim lime and bricks, v'chol avoy the basad and all the work in the field, eis kol avoydaso masha ovu behem beforach. Good. I know we mentioned this in the past, but it applies all the time, and definitely a chizik to hear it over again. By Yemoru as Chayayim. The Pshalm Shadron brings down, the Zoya Kaddish says that this pasuk is a remez to being Isaac to learning Torah. Vayimaru es chayim ba'avoy dekasha, says the Zoya Kaddish, ba'avoy dekasha zukushis. That refers to the kashis one asks when one is learning. The hard work in learning Torah. The chaymer refers to a kalva chaymer. The levenim refers to libun halachos, whitening, clarifying, cleansing halachos. Just like there's libun, when you have to kasher kli, you clean, purify the kli. So too halacha, a person has to come out with a clear halacha. Halacha is pure. Libun halacha is v'chol avoyda basada is the brisos, and eis kol avoydasim refers to mishnayis. Avoyda kosha. Why is the remez in this pasuk? So Shon Shadron explains that Shevet Levi, we know, was not subject to the avoyda. Shevet Levi was exempt from the avoyda. And one of the rayas Rashi brings is that Moshe and Aaron were able to come and go at will, and nobody stopped them, because Shevet Levi was exempt from the Avodah. Why were they exempt from the Avodah? Because they never started working. Because they took upon themselves to work in Torah. The Avodah Kasha, the Chayma, the Bilveinim, they took upon themselves not the physical hard work, but rather the Avodah Kasha of learning Torah. Shaul Shadron goes on and says, explains with a nice marshal, everybody has to work in this world. Adam l'amol yuhu, the person is created to work. We all work hard. Nobody sits back and has it easy. We all work hard. But a person has a choice. A person has bechira where his work will be, what his hard work will be. Will be his physically hard work, slaving, toiling for his Olam Hazeh, or will be in Ruchnius for his Olam Haba. And he tells over a famous marshal, which he said over a few times, there was a young boy, and he goes down to the dock to watch all the ships coming in and the ships leaving. He's very mesmerized, impressed by all the ships coming in, the ships leaving, and he spends a few hours watching the boats come in and the big cargo ships come into port. And he watches as they unload the ships and they carry off crate after crate. And some ships have barrels, some have crates, some have bigger containers. And he watches as everything is unloaded. And then after the ship is unloaded, he notices they load up the empty ship with other merchandise, and the empty ship takes off and goes sailing in the ocean. And he's watching the whole day, the ships load, unload, and he notices one ship unloads, and instead of putting merchandise back on the ship, they take heavy rocks. And he notices the workers come with big heavy rocks, and they put the heavy rocks on the ship. And he's wondering, why are they putting rocks on the ship? And they bring rocks after rock, and they put it on the ship. So the boy walks over to the captain of the ship, and he says, you know, I'm standing here a whole day watching all the ships come in, being unloaded, loaded. Tell me, where are you bringing these rocks? Is there a place that doesn't have any rocks? Are you bringing it to a place that has no rocks, and they have to import such heavy rocks? And the captain says, oh, I wish I had merchandise, he says. He says to the boy, all the other ships have merchandise to bring back with them. They all have schayer to take back with them for the return journey. Because unfortunately, I don't have any merchandise to bring back. But the ship can't sail empty on the ocean. It's such a big ship, the wind and the waves will toss the ship and turn it over. So I have to weigh down the ship, give it some weight and weigh it down. So therefore we're putting on the rocks in order to hold the ship down. He said to the boy, if I would have had merchandise, believe me, I would take merchandise instead of carrying on the heavy rocks. But instead of the merchandise, I at least have to have the rocks because I have to keep the boat steady in the water. And it says, the nimshel is very obvious. We're all ships in the ocean. We're all going through, the Gemara compares this world to us swimming through the water, ships going through the water. We have a choice. Every ship has to be loaded. We all have to carry a burden. But it's our choice. Do you want to carry the rocks with us? Or do we want to bring some schayer back with us? We come to Olam Haba. Lachem Leiv Esri, after 120 years, are we coming back with an empty ship? Are we come back with a ship because we carried the rocks? Or are we come back with a ship full of our ruchnius that we carried in this world? Lavoy the kosher. Adam, a person is created to work, but every person has a choice how he wants to work, with what he wants to work. Avad, the person has to work for parnasa. But after that, what does a person do with his time? How does he use his free time? Is it for the work of this world or for the work of the next world? The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that anyone's makabal himself on Torah, ma'vir mimenu ol derech eretz, remove from him the oil of derech eretz. So a person has a choice of being makabal himself the oil, and hopefully will make the right decision and choose the oil of Torah mitzvahs. I usually don't like to say all the stories that are a little bit, otherworldly or, maybe a little bit on a different type of a story. But I saw a story this week that I'd like to say over. The Pasuk tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, in Pasuk, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis and Gimel, Vatahal Ha'isha V'Teira Ben, Yecheva gives birth, she has a son Moshe, and Vateira Yisai Ki Toivu, Vatitzpenehu Shiroi Shirochim, and she hides him for 3 months. Pasuk Gimel, V'Layach La'oi Datzfino, she can't hide him any longer, she takes tevas goyma, a box, a basket, she smears it with lime, with zophis, with tar, she puts the baby inside, and puts the basket, the box with the baby, by the edge of the river. Rabbeinu Bechai writes the following. Quote Rabbeinu Bechai's Lashon, says Rabbeinu Bechai, Yecheved Ima, I'm sorry. Udvar Chochma also saw Yecheved Ima. Yecheved, Moshe's mother, did a Dvar Chochma. She did something very smart. She did a great she accomplished something great and a great kunst what she did by putting Moshe Rabbeinu by the edge of the water. Kidei shiyiru, it's tagnine paroi. So the astrologers of paroi will see shiyimru and they'll say kibar hushra hamashiach bayor, that the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael was already put into the water, because they had predicted to paroi that Mashiach Yisrael would be born, would be punished with water. So therefore, Yecheved put him in the water. So the astrologers have seen that Moshe Rabbeinu was put in the water, and they'll tell Paroi that it already was true. He was punished with the water, put into the water, and he'll call off the Gzeira. Ki yedu ze mikoyach etztaginusom. They knew from their astrology that Moshe will be punished by water. V'yagidu hadovra Paroi, and they'll see that Moshe is in the water, and they'll tell it to Paroi. V'oz tibotel ha-gzeira. And the Gzeira will be bottled. Because they can't tell what happened afterwards, but they know that Moshe was put into the water. And Ben Chayin's off that Zehu Shadarshu Rabbi Seinu Zal Hachoyzim Bakachovim Maidim Lacharosh Meshiyavoy Aleich. In other words, they see, but they don't exactly understand and know what they're seeing. So they see Moshe Rabbeinu is in the water, they'll think he's punished by water, they'll call off the Gzeirah. There was a story in the times of the Maral. Goes along the following lines. I saw the story actually Sunday, beginning of the week, but usually I see on Sunday, by Thursday night, it's already, I don't remember it. But this story stayed with me the whole week. In Krakow, there was a Reb Shapsi who had a Geisha, a maid working for him in the house. This Geisha maid was married, obviously, to a guy, and she used to come every day and work in Reb Shapsi's house. And when she was in Reb Shapsi's house, they treated her very nicely, and she was very happy. When she went home, she had a miserable life. Her husband was a shikar, a drunk, he used to beat her, take her money. She had a miserable life. And whenever she could, she would come to work in Reb Shapsi's house. She was there for Shabbosis, for Yom Tovim, and she got to know a lot about Yiddishkeit being in his house. And over the years, as time went on, she decided she wants to be Megaya. She wants to become a Geiris. Because compared to her life she has at home, and the life she sees in Reb Shapsi's house, two different worlds, she wants to become a Geiris. She approaches Reb Shapsi with the idea that she wants to be Megayer. He tells her, you're nuts. Because in those times, if a guy was Megayer and they found out, they would kill her. They would kill her. That was enough capital offense. Nothing doing. I can't. She pleads, she begs, she cries, and she shows him that she's very serious about it. He finally sees that she really means it. She's very serious about it, very sincere. Tells her that you can't do it here. You can't be Megayu here in Krakow because they'll find out, that's it. Your life is over. He says, I'm going to send you to Prague. I'll send you to my Rebbe, the Maral in Prague. I'll write you a letter. I'll tell the Maral the whole story. Take the letter to Maral, and whatever the Maral tells you to do, that's what you do. She says, fine. I'll take the chance. I'll take a trip to Prague. I'll go to the Maral. He writes a letter. He explains the whole story. She comes to Prague. She brings the letter to the Maral. Maral reads the letter. He knew Reb Shapsi. He reads the letter. And he does a little chakira, drisha. He asks around. And he has people speak to her. And Bekitzli, he sees she's very sincere. And he decides to be Megayer. She's Megayer and she becomes a Geiris. The husband, meantime, is back in Krakow. Doesn't know what happened to his wife. But she's safely far, far away in Prague. She's Megayer. She marries a Yid, she has a mishpacha, and for years and years, life is fine. Everything is going fine. By Hiyayoyim, one day, she's in a store in Prague. Uh-oh. She looks out the window, and she sees the ex-husband, the guy, standing in front of the store looking around. She doesn't know what to do. What's he doing here in Prague? And she figures that he's here because he's coming after her. He came to Prague to find her, and he's looking around, looking at the store. She doesn't know what to do. She hides in the back of the store. And as soon as the husband walks by, she runs out straight to the house of the Maral. She comes to the Maral and she says to him, what do I do? My husband, the guy, is here. How do I do? The Maral says, listen to me closely and no questions. I want you to leave my house, go back to your house as soon as you can. I want you to tell the neighbors they should spread the word that you're sick. Tell the neighbors to spread the word that you're deathly sick. You're very sick. The neighbors should take you. Have you lie down in bed, take a white sheet, cover you over with a white sheet. They should go to the basic forest, take some earth from the cemetery and grass, and bring the earth and the grass and cover over the white sheet with the earth and the grass, and stay in bed until I call for you. Okay? Raul says, no question. That's it. She goes home, tells the neighbors, the Morales, all the instructions. The word spreads out that she's sick. They bring the white sheet. They go to the basic waters. They bring the earth, the grass. They cover her over. And she's covered over by the sheet. But the next day, a while later, the Morales sends a message to the house. It's safe. It's okay. She could come out. Take off the sheet. Take off the earth, the grass. Take off the sheet. It's okay. She could come out. She could come out now. Let her stay in the house, because the guy didn't leave Prague yet. Soon he'll leave Prague, and then she could go out of the house, and she doesn't have to worry about him ever again. And everyone is, what happened?
Magic.
What happened? What was this all about? What did the morale do? What was it all about? So they asked the morale, what happened? So the morale said that it's obvious the husband came here because he wanted to find her. How did the husband know that she was in Prague? Because the husband went to one of the one of the sorcerers was able to read the stars, and he told the husband that his former wife is in Prague. But the Chayzen B'Kechavim don't always see a whole picture. They see very fuzzy. They see, but they don't see. Like it happened here in this week's parasha. They see, and they don't see. They saw that she was in Prague, but they told the husband she's in Prague, but we can't tell you exactly where she is. So when you come to Prague, go to the astrologer in Prague. There's one of us in Prague. We'll give you his name. You'll find him. And when you're in Prague, he'll help you find exactly where she is. So he said, the husband came into Prague, and he had an idea she's here. He didn't know where. When she came running to me, I realized that that's why the husband was here. The only eitz I had was that she had to make believe that she died. So we told her to go under a white sheet, white tachrichim, take the earth and the grass and the Vesa Kvaris. So when the husband went to the Chayzim Mekachovim, to the astrologer here in Prague,
she's dead.
The astrologer told the husband, you're too late. I see that she's already dead. I see she's already covered with a white sheet. I see there's already earth and grass growing on top of her. She's covered over. It's too late. And that's it. She's dead. And the husband heard that. He stopped looking for her and he went home. And Chayzim Mekachovim, Raul said, just like you find the Chayzim B'Kechavim, they see, but they don't see. They see a little bit, but they don't understand the entire parasha. With that, he was able to save this lady. Okay, nice story. But I was just thinking, we don't have to go to the Chayzim B'Kechavim. If you look around at this world that we live in, isn't it the same? We hear the news. We hear this one's opinion, and that one's shita, and that one's opinion. They think they see. The goyim think they understand. You know why this happened? And you know why that happened? And you know why there's that muhama? You know why this muhama? And you know why this accident happened? And that happened because of this. And we'll change. Everything will be fine. You know, they see a little bit. They have seichel. They see. But they don't see the entire picture. A person who doesn't have the eyes of Torah can't see the entire picture. If one has such a question, and go to the Gedolim, the Gedolim Adar, and they're able to see. The Kayach HaTayra, they're able to see, and they're able to help us. But the Goyim, Achayizim, Veinim Chayizim, they see, and they don't see. We have to realize that the true Chachma lies in the Torah itself, and not from the Goyim. We shouldn't be influenced what we hear from the Goyim. The Pasuk continues, Vayihi, Yamim HaRabah Mehem. The Pasuk says, Vayishirishi, I'm sorry, Vahiba Yom Mehem. It was in those days. Vayimdal Moshe. Moshe grew up, became a mitzvah. Vayetze Alechov. He goes out to see his brethren in the field. Vayab Yisivroisom. And he sees the burdens, the troubles, and he sees the Ish Mitzvah hitting the Ish. Rashi tells us in Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayab Yisivroisom, not just that Moshe saw, but Nosan Einov V'Liboy Lilis Meitzer Aleim. He put his eyes in his heart, he paid attention, he felt, he wanted to have tzar, he felt the pain of Bnei Yisrael for all the suffering that he had. The Ben Ishtanchuma brings down that Moshe put a sack of tit on his shoulder, and he went around carrying a sack of tit, of clay, of cement on his shoulder, in order to feel for the tzar of Bnei Yisrael. Bayar b'sibroiso. A person has to feel for others. A person has to feel the tzar that others have. And how careful the Gedolim were to feel the tzar for others. Just a few short little stories to bring out a point of what it means to feel for somebody else. During World War I, Reb Chaim Brisker in World War I didn't sleep on his bed. He slept on the floor in his house. And when they asked him, why don't you sleep on a bed? Why are you sleeping on the floor? There's a bed right here. And Reb Chaim answered and he said, how can I sleep in my bed? There are Jewish soldiers fighting the war on both sides. In World War I, you had Jewish soldiers on both sides of the, on both sides of the war. And they're out there on the battlefield and they're fighting. They're sleeping on the ground. They don't have a bed to sleep in. I feel for them. I want to be able to feel that tsar. The only way I can feel that tsar is if I sleep on the floor. I want to be able to feel that tsar. The Alta from the Vardik, Mon Yom Kippur, was passing through a certain city, and he had to be there for Yom Kippur. He comes into shul on Yom Kippur, and he sees there's a man sitting in shul wearing leather shoes. He's wearing leather shoes on Yom Kippur. So the Alta from the Vardik waited and was quiet. He went over very nicely, and he said to him, please tell me, why are you wearing leather shoes? It's Yom Kippur today. We're not supposed to wear leather shoes. The man says to him, I'll tell you the truth. I know, but I have no socks. I have no socks underneath. If I take off my shoes, I have to be barefoot. I have nothing to cover my feet. I'm embarrassed. I can't take off my shoes. So the altar says, no problem. I'll give you my socks. He takes off his socks, and he gives it to this yid, and he's barefoot. So people that knew him asked him, why is he better than you? Why is he better than you? He didn't want to go barefoot, that's his cheshbon. But why do you have to go barefoot for? The author from the Vatican and he said, I'll tell you why he said. Because that person who lives here in this town, this is his city. This is, everyone knows him. Me, I'm here today, I'll be out tomorrow, I'm gone, I'm somewhere else. For him to be embarrassed, it will be an embarrassment that lasts forever. He'll never live it down. For me, it's going to say, this rabbi came, he was here without socks. By tomorrow, next week they'll forget about me. I'm here one day, I'm gone the next day. But this yid, he lives here. He'll never live down the embarrassment of not having socks. He's willing to go ahead and embarrass himself in order to help out somebody else. There was a ma'aseh with the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer was just this week. The Ksav Sofer was the son of the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer, it seemed that there was a yid that was convicted of a capital offense, and he was sentenced to death. It was a trumped-up charge. It wasn't true, but he was sentenced to death. The Ksav Sofer, the Rabbonim, and all the big askanim, they all tried to have the sentence commuted. They all tried to save him, and every judge they approached, and governor and officer they approached, wasn't interested. Nobody was interested in helping them, and unfortunately, he was sentenced to death. And the sentence was supposed to be carried out the next morning. The night before the death sentence was supposed to be carried out, the Ksav Sofer went to sleep. His father comes to him in a dream. Ksav Sofer comes to him in a dream, and he says to him, my son, how can you sleep? There's a yid who's going to lose his life tomorrow morning, and you're sleeping. How can you sleep tonight? And in the dream, the Ksav Sofer says to his father, but we did all that we could. There's nothing left for us to do. We did everything. We did everything possible. We tried everything. There's not a stone we left unturned. Everything possible we did. What more can I do? Something says to him in the dream, you did everything? Impossible. What do you mean you did everything? Impossible. You could always daven. Even when it looks like there's no hope, afilu cherev chado munachas al tzavar shel adam, even when a sharp sword is lying on a person's neck, a person's throat, al tishyosh, don't give up, minarachim from rachmanis, daven. But we davened already. Daven again and again and again and again. Ksav Sofer wakes up, jumps out of bed, calls together as many people as he can. They gather in a shul and they daven throughout the whole night. And they daven and they daven and say till him the whole night, throughout the entire night. The next morning, by the trial, the judge has a little bit of a change of heart and maybe there's some truth to what they're saying, the charges are not true. He decides to delay the execution. And over time, they do a chakir and drisha. They find out the charges aren't true, and he was released. Kaycha tefila, we always have. It's not true that we can't do anything for somebody. Sometimes people hear about sorrow, say, "I can't do anything. What should I do? There's nothing left." They have all the big askanim taking care of it, and all the rabbanim are involved. What can I do? But tefila, a person can always be misbal. No matter what, you hear a person has a sorrow, feel for a person. If you can help the person, of course, help, do what you can. But tefillah is always available. Even when it seems like there's no hope anymore, tefillah is always available, and a person can be misbaleh over and over again. But you see from these stories, how could a person sleep? How can you go ahead and wear his shoes when somebody else is mitzvah? You have to feel for other people. The Pasuk speaking that shoes, so the Pasuk says later on, Shal no alecho me'al naglecho. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu later on in Perikimu, in Perikimu Pasuk, hey, Vayoymen Hashem says, Al tikraf aloim, don't come close. Shal no alecho me'al naglecho. Take your shoes off of your feet. Ki amokai masha'ata, I made the of the place that you're standing on, admas kaideshu, is holy wind. Do'el Lois Ephraim, which is written by the Kol Yochor, Lois Ephraim says a deep word, simple but deep at the same time. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be the future leader of Klal Yisrael. Hashem was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu what it means to be a leader of Klal Yisrael. You know what the requirement is? Shal na'olecho me'al reglecho. Take your shoes off of your feet. Says the Lois Ephraim, when a person wears shoes, he steps on small pebbles, he steps on a thorn, it doesn't bother him because he has soles on the bottom of his shoes. He doesn't feel it. He steps on something big, oh, he feels it. But he steps on the little pebbles, the little splinters, the little thorns, it doesn't bother him. A person who takes his shoes off and he's walking barefoot, every little pebble, every little splinter, every little thorn bothers him. He fails at every step. You want to be a leader of Klal Yisrael? Shal ne'olecha. Take off your shoes. You have to feel for everybody. You have to feel everybody's tzar. You have to heal pain of everybody. Those little splinters, the little pebbles, the thorns, everybody's problems. You have to be able to feel for people. Only someone who can feel for others, can take his shoes off and feel every step and feel everybody's tzar, is going to be a leader of Klal Yisrael. Famous Chavetz Chaim in the Pasuk, Shal ne'olecho me'al reglecho, ki ha'mokloi ma'asha'ato oimidolov ad mas kodeshu. The Pasuk continues, Hashem said to Moshe, take off your shoes from your feet, because the land, the place that you're standing on, is ad mas kodesh, is holy land. And it says the Chavetz Chaim, that wherever a person is standing, b'chol mokloi m'b'chol zman, whatever place a person is in, whatever time a person is in, whatever matzvah a person is in, a person could take that and turn it into an admas kodesh. A person could take wherever he is, whatever situation he's in, whatever time period he's living in, and turn it into an admas kodesh. But what does he have to do first? Shal ne'olecha. Let's take off his shoes. Take off the mechitza that's dividing between him and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Separate from the averus, the mechitza, the separation that's dividing between him and Hashem. And he could turn the makom, the place that you're standing, is an admas kodesh. Ki amakom hashat oimid, it's a lashon hoyve, it's a lashon in the present tense. Not that you stood on, but that you're standing on right now. The Torah is speaking to everybody in every generation, no matter where you're standing, no matter what generation we're in, no matter what kufa it is, what the situation is. Ki amakom hashat, the place that you are presently standing on, admas kodesh. A person could take it and turn it into a place that's kodesh. A person, sometimes people say, if I only lived in the earlier generations, oh, such kedusha, and people were so holy, it would have been different. That's not our job. Our job is to take, in America, on New Year's Eve.
What?
On New Year's Eve, and turn it into an Admas Kodesh. Turn it into Kedusha, and we have the Yechayles to do, so we can all turn it into an Admas Kodesh. This morning, I was davening in Shul, and I have a neighbor on the block, and comes over to me this morning. He says, you know, I came late to Minyan today, I came late to Shul today, but I'm really trying hard. I'm really trying hard to come close to Hashem. He tells me, he's very Shvachu Minyanim, he wasn't coming. Even though I was late this morning, I made the effort, I came anyway, I'm trying very hard to become close to Hashem. He says to me this morning, okay, I was in a rush to leave. After I left, I said to myself, you know, I should have answered him back, I should have said to him, what do you mean you're trying to become close? You're already close? The fact that you're trying, that you came to Shul, the fact that you're trying, that in itself brings you closer. Reminds me of the Vark, the Pasuk says, Yismach Lev, Mevashe Hashem. A person rejoices, those that seek Hashem rejoice. Yeah. I think it was Simcha Ben Peshischa asks, where else do you find that the Mevakesh is happy? A person who's seeking, who's looking, is not happy yet. You lost an Aveda. You're looking for the Aveda. Are you happy when you're looking? Mevakshe, when you're looking, you're happy when you find, when you're mitzvah, when you find the Aveda. A person is working, he's earning money, he's not happy. He's happy when he earns the money. He's happy when he achieves his goal. But the Mevakesh, Where do you find that a mevakesh, one who's seeking, one who's searching, one who's looking, is happy? Teretz is only by mevakshei Hashem. Comes to Tairu mitzvahs. A person tries. A person seeks to improve himself. In that process already, he's a yismach leiv. In that process already, he's happy. Even before he achieves his goals. The fact that he is mevakesh to do what's right, mevakesh of Tairu mitzvahs, that in itself brings a person simcha. Yismach leiv mevakshei Hashem. So a person who tries to come close to Hashem, in a way, he's already close, because yismach leiv mevakshei Hashem. And a famous story we said over once, very bekitza, the Chayzim Milabwin, one Mitzoy Yom Kippur, he said, I could tell anybody who was davening with me over Yom Kippur what they davened for on Yom Kippur, and whether that tefillahs were answered. So said the Chayzim after Yom Kippur. Okay, I don't know, some of us would probably run away if you heard such an offer. And some of us, so it was a younger man, somebody staying there, and he said to the Chayzer, can you tell me what I davened for? Yeah. I guess the Chayzer said, whoever wants to come and ask me, can you tell me what I davened for? So he said, of course, I'll tell you what I davened for. This year you had to go out and start to earn a parnasa. So you had a difficult time, your days are very long, you come home at night, you're very, very tired, you're able to come, learn for a little bit. You davened this year should have parnasa berevach, and you should have more time to be able to learn like you did in the old days. You should be able to go back and have more time to learn. You shouldn't have to come home so tired, so late, and come, be able to learn a little bit. And he looks at the Chai, says, yeah, exactly what I davened for. And he says to the Chai, no, and what did they say in Shemayim? The Chai said, they answered, no.
Oh, no.
They answered no. And he says, how could that be? You just told me what I davened for. It's from the heart, a beautiful tefillah. How could it be no? And the Chayzer said, because in Shemayim, there's a different scale of measuring than there is down here. In Shemayim, your hour at night, after a full day of hard work, is worth more than if you would sit and learn benachas, easier,
wow.
Other hours of the day.
Very good.
Don't know how much it's worth. We look at things then with our eyes. But in Shemayim, the scale is totally different.
Wow.
The serious nefesh that a person has, if they're working a whole day, and coming home, and he's tired, and it's late, and it's cold outside, and every other excuse that a person could think of, and he still comes out, he still comes to one at night. And Shemayim, that's worth so much. We don't know how much, we don't understand much it's worth, but it's worth so much more. Just that our scales down here are a little bit crooked. We don't know how to measure. And sometimes we think, oh, why doesn't Hashem answer? There it is, because the dar needs that mysterious nefesh to help the dar's chusma needed, and Hashem gave you that schus to carry it out. The place that you're standing on is Admas Kodesh, is full of Kedusha. Every person can take every matzav and it turns into a place of Kedusha. And that's how we'll avoid it, to realize that and to recognize that. Before you mentioned New Year's Eve, and I got like, huh? Yeah, it's New Year's Eve. So I saw today in one place, and I read it, and I said, okay. I saw it again from the after, I saw it twice today from the after of. And I never saw it before.
I hear it.
I never saw it before. No. The after of brings down that New Year's Eve, the Goyisha New Year,
tonight
is a time when Klal Yisrael can misbow for Yeshuas. It's time of Yeshuas for Klal Yisrael.
Okay.
And he says, why? Because we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at the difference between how they celebrate their New Year and how we were makabel on ourselves, our Rosh Hashanah, our New Year. When it came to Rosh Hashanah time, where were we? In Times Square. Everybody was in shul. Everybody was in shul, davening. In the shul. Hashem is melech, HaMelech HaKadosh. We davened. Mekabel Hashem is melech. We davened in shul. We realized what our tafkid is. We're the goyim by the new year. Okay, everyone knows what's going on tonight. Yeah. They're all shikir in the parting. Some years it's worse than others, some years it's better than others. But the goyim celebrate their New Year's in their way. So the Abdurov said, Rabbanu Shoyim, look at the difference between them. Look at the difference between how the Yisraelim kavav a New Year, and how the goyim take upon themselves a New Year. And Mikam Chay Yisrael, look at Chodesh, how holy B'nai Yisrael are, kavav. I think he said that the tefillahs that a person davened Rosh Hashanah that weren't makabel or a person didn't fix up,
tonight he could
still try to fix up, because tonight also the Indian of a new year, and fakat, but looking at the goyim in us, and showing the difference, it's a gewaltige schuss for Klal Yisrael.
It's also Yosef of the Rambam.
Oh yeah, tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
This one.
Rambam. Okay, so on that, so I saw it the first time today once, I said, okay, maybe he, then I saw it again later on, I saw the Russian Kaddish. Okay, so I call upon him, so the smile, but there's a Indian. Okay, so I call upon him, so let's be mechazik ourselves, and realize we have to kind of turn into an Amos Kaddish, to be able to continue to learn, and be able to take our daily activities and turn it into an Amos Kaddish, and b'zaycha the Yeshua's Rufus Becham, and b'zaycha the Simashich's Homer, Menu, Amen.